hey, if you want to join 1st Squadron 1303 Cavalry Regiment, we are always taking applications.
I'm Joe C. Mandel, and this is Raven Conversations. And today I'm joined by Major Josh Sternberg. He is a Cav officer with 1st Squadron 303rd Cavalry Regiment. You're the commander currently, and you're almost out of command at A Troop. You've been there a long time now. He's here to kind of share his guard story, time in command. And Josh is a really good friend. He works down the hall. Gosh, you've been in the building with me for a few years now. And we've kind of gotten to know each other. And appreciate you coming on and talking with us.
Oh, appreciate it, sir. Yeah, been kind of wanting to come on. I have several of my friends, Cam Elliott. Mm-hmm. Well, now Major Elliott, yeah. B Troop, he came on. And he's like, yeah, you should just go ahead and do this. And, you know, glad to finally be able to join you on, sir, especially as my time in ADOS with the G3 is coming to an end at the end of the week. So
yeah. And like I say, I appreciate you coming on and taking the time with us. Intro and background on yourself.
I'm just I guess you could call the quintessential country boy. Even my wife would definitely not say that, but yeah, I'm originally from Huntingburg, Indiana. This is a small town in southwestern Indiana. I lived there for about 21 years, and then joined the Illinois National Guard back in 2010. Same time did the Illinois State ROTC program. So I was at SMP cadet for 2 years and then took my commission in December of 2012, moved back to Indiana, was a Cav officer with B Troop. Well, 1st Squadron 152 Cav, was PL there for, gosh, almost 3 years. And then transferred to my sister troop, A Troop, right before a JRTC rotation, and then decided I wanted to make a change. So crazy thing is I met my wife online, so that was part of it. At the time, my girlfriend, and then so I took the opportunity either IST or do a call to active duty back in 2017. But I chose the IST out here in 2017. And then was with HHT 1st Squadron for a very short time when I got picked up for a tour of duty rotation here with 189 Cat B 1st Army. And I did that for 2 years as an operations officer / guest OCT. And then Major Dale Wright was like, you need to come back, go on this move to Jordan with him and Colonel Osmer. And so I came back to the Guard. Did the rear debt TO thing for about 4 months, and then January of 20 went forward to Jordan, and I had the opportunity to be a battle captain there, and I also had the glorious task of letting Colonel Osmer know that COVID had hit our installation and that we were no longer to go anywhere. So that was, you know, a great conversation because everyone, including Captain Promotable J. Mar Imperial, was like giving me a hard time about you the base down. We couldn't go anywhere, but came back, did ADOS with 303rd again. And then Colonel Osmer and Major Wright was like, hey, do you want to come work at the G3? And I was like, well, yeah, because I'm trying to get an AGR job. And then that's kind of where I've been the last 4 years on the full-time side working for Dale. Now I can call him Dale because we're, you know, peers, but I keep saying, you know, you need to retire or I'm going to have someone promote you to Lieutenant Colonel. But yeah, so I've been doing that and, been the A Troop commander for the last 26 months, XETC, just did JRTC, and now next month on the 17th of October, I'm coming out of command. So that's kind of sums it up about, you know, now Major Sternberg, you know, over the last 26 months of command and last four years in the G3.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, you mentioned ADOS. What is ADOS? How does it work? And kind of the basics of it.
Okay. Well, it used to be active duty operational support, but now it's full-time National Guard duty operational support. Mr. J likes to remind everyone that it's that now and not ADOS. But there's a few different types of ADOS, you know, at the Title 10 level where you can go do a MOB, do here at JBLM or kind of anywhere in CONUS, which is here located in the States. And then NGB has Title 10 ADOS jobs, but, and then of course the state. So yeah, just mainly operational support or logistics support, either at the directed level or even at the MSC battalion level. It just depends, on the basically the training cycle that, a unit could be in where they request ADOS, and then they usually like to have like a senior lieutenant, junior captain, or even like junior majors. Mm-hmm. Just depends on what the work entitles, but it's a great opportunity to get your foot in the door if you think you want to do like potentially AGR in the future. And that was something I always wanted to do, but I also know that specifically for my career set, it may require me going outside the state. And that's kind of where I'm currently waiting on the feedback from NGB to get the call that, hey, we want you to come out. And so that's kind of where we're at. We're kind of a holding pattern, but that's how 17 was. I remember when I moved out here and I was just going to be M-Day soldier. And then First Army came calling, and that's kind of how it set me on this whole ADOS full-time thing. And now looking like that's where I'm going to end up, you know, hopefully potentially the beginning of November. So I'll have a little break, but you know, that gives me time to focus on family and also this move that's going to require, because, you know, moving from Washington all the way to DC, moving from Indiana to Washington itself was exciting, but also challenging logistically because moving your whole life. So, yeah. But I would recommend ADOS for anybody, especially that junior level officer, or there's also NCO and junior enlisted opportunities for those soldiers that want to do AGR. It's a good stepping stone and also helps out with the interview process because you kind of know going into it, hey, and also networking is very big in the ADOS realm, not just here in Washington, but pretty much throughout Army Guard. Like the more people you know, the better opportunity you get, specifically if you're looking for a AGR job outside the state.
Yeah. So you kind of glazed over that you joined the Illinois Guard at first. How did you learn about the Guard?
Oh, so I learned about the Guard through some friends. My buddy Ryan, he actually joined the Navy back in, it's like 20. He joined the Navy in about 2009. And that's kind of where I kind of got my like, hey, maybe I should join service. So I was looking at different opportunities. It took me a little while to pick a career field or pick the Guard. But when I moved to Illinois to go to school, Illinois State, I was doing criminal justice. But I also thought, well, this is the right time. Because my mom always told me, hey, if you're going to join the military, you should be an officer. My paternal great grandfather, who's a cavalryman right after World War I, my paternal great uncle was in Korea, and then he volunteered for Vietnam when he didn't have to. And tragically, he was one of the first Marines in country back in 65. And within a month of landing, he got killed. Well, he was wounded in action, and then he succumbed to his injuries about a few days later. So kind of a, you know, those two things. And I had another great uncle serving Vietnam as a CB. And then one of my uncles on my mom's side, he served in the Air Force. So a lot of rich history on that side of the house of family. And I just wanted to continue that legacy. It kind of helped me in my career field later on as I finished ROTC. It was at LDAC up here in Washington, was still up here, that I decided I wanted to be, well, armor, but I've been a cavalryman my whole career, because at that time it was 19 Charlie was the MOS or that we were classified as that. But it kind of went back to my paternal grandfather, and then my great paternal great uncle, he was an administrative officer in third tank for the Marines. And that's kind of where I wanted to go along and honor their legacy. You know, and of course, you know, those Stetsons, you know, I'm going to give a shout out. Everyone likes to give us a hard time as Cav guys about our Stetson, just like the infantry corps for the infantrymen. But I probably rock that Stetson. You know, when I was in here getting my command photo, you gave me a little hard time, sir, about wearing that. But yeah, hey. I love being part of the Cav. It's been a ride. Like I said, I've been with the squadron the last 7 years, essentially the whole time I've been out here. It's been a blast, especially being the A troop commander.
Yeah. So for the folks at home that don't know, when you're a Cav officer, you're authorized to wear a Stetson. And truly, it's an old cowboy hat. It's exactly what it is. But you could also wear spurs. Mm-hmm. It's still something you wear. Do you guys also get a sword? Is that another piece you get as well?
So the sword is something that most officers either get as a commission gift, or over time we'll get like as a gift. My parents, they knew I was going into the Cav, so that was just something I think one Christmas they got. I've only worn it a few times because it's a ceremonial and it's kind of a pain to wear, if anyone knows. Kudos to the guys back in the Civil War and during the Indian Wars, how they could wear a sword. But I wore it for my my wedding. I think that was actually the last time I wore it. But it's also been used for a few Order of St. George. Basically, it's the ceremonial medallion for, you know, cav officers that have shown great like initiative and time in service and just what they provide to the cav community. So it's been used a few times for that. So, you know, it's got some history now to it, especially in the squadron. So I just like to, so it's a nice ceremonial piece that, you know, just kind of goes above one of the doorways of my house.
Yeah.
But enjoy it. You know, it's good. Reflect on that rich cav history, especially when it comes to like thinking about my paternal grandfather, great grandfather. Cause I have a picture of him on his mount, and you don't realize how big those horses were until you put, I think he was like 5'6", 5'7", and he looked small on that thing. But it's just a great, you know, piece. And actually I need to get that picture of him framed. So, you know, later on in life, I can think back of like where I come from and, you know, where I'm going and how, you know, this, my family's kind of help put me on that path, is, you know, follow that tradition and history. Cause I'm actually the only commissioned officer in my family or have ever been outside my paternal great uncle. So it's kind of a cool thing to be part of, you know, as an officer, you know?
Yeah. So the squadron here in the state has a pretty rich history. You've been a commander of A Troop for 26 months. It's a long time to be in a company level command.
Yeah.
Talk about going into command, how it's been. I know you suffered some loss during your time in command.
Yeah.
Would love to kind of hear that story. Okay.
So, it was March of 2022, then the SCO Lieutenant Colonel Gefson texts me up. He's like, "Hey, we're A Troop. That's what you wanted. That's what we're going to give you." So going back, looking at the risk history. So real quick, Alpha Troop lineage dates back to the founding of the cavalry in Washington. They deployed during World War One. Then they also deployed during World War II, the Normandy campaign, all the way to the end of the essentially time in Germany. And then they've been to Iraq and pretty much almost the initial, and this few weeks after initial invasion, about 03-04. And that's when they were Echo Troop that a lot of people remember. And then 05 converted to now Alpha Troop. And then went to Jordan, and also, you know, we did a mission in Syria, you know, so just a lot of rich history there. So that's why I wanted to be, because I'm a big history guy, World War II. So that was kind of, besides, you know, a lot of people I knew in Alpha Troop at the time would love to, you know, take them through the next 2 years. But yeah, so June, so right after AT, 22, finished change command inventories, you know, pretty much got everything. It's going to go good. Get home. Not only do I find out my wife and I are, you know, we're expecting after almost 4 years trying, three and a half, 4 years. Same time, I get the phone call, my grandfather's not going to make it. So I fly home to be there with him. And I spent the last 2 weeks with him and, you know, watched him pass. But you know, I did, even though I never got to really talk to him, I let him know that he had a great granddaughter, only because I'm the oldest with the surname. So my grandpa's always been looking forward to me having a kid one day. So, and I know he knew I was expecting, but so he passes and then change of command in August, went great, ready to be part of the team. Week after command, my parents, they'd come out, you know, for change command. Ended up, Megan's in the hospital a few times, and come to find out, there's a problem. And so my daughter, she was diagnosed. We were at that time pretty much halfway, getting close to halfway. She's diagnosed with a cystic hygroma, which stems from a bad heart. And then we found out later on that she also had developed Turner syndrome, which is the opposite of Down. So Turner, you only have one chromosome. Downs, you have three chromosomes. So essentially she'll be born as a girl, but you know, she's going to have a ton of complications if she survives. So, but we left it up to God, you know, and she kept trucking along, but it was October of 22 when like right before a Rainier Stampede that she passed away finally. And that was pretty hard on us, but it also gave us time to like reflect, because originally we were going to find out the 5 month mark that, you know, she wasn't going to survive. So knowing, so it was kind of like a sign almost that, hey, you know, you're about to go through this traumatic experience. It's going to shape you. But I had a great support system here in the G3, you know, a lot of commanders, you know, like a lot of people in the state reached out to me and Megan after my daughter, Grace Marianne, passed away. But it was crazy to see how many people go through something very similar. I know you shared your story with me, sir, so I really appreciate that. But it gives credence and a good support system. And that's why I would say that there's a lot of good people in this organization, because they helped me and my wife along the way. So, and then also at the same time, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. So dealing with that at the same time, but she's cancer free now. She's doing great. And then my uncle, he also had cancer and he passed away about a year after, just about 8 months after Grace passed away. But February 23, you know, we're not thinking, hey, we're not trying or anything. And we find out we're pregnant again. And it's crazy how life throws you a curveball. And then now I have a 10-month-year-old daughter, Kezia Mae, and she's phenomenal. It's just, the hindsight is, you know, if then they go with him with Grace, I wouldn't have Kezia, and Kezia is amazing. But I do know I'll see my daughter Grace one day, but I know she's in a better place. But August to October. And that was my command. And one thing I'll finish up with that story is, I almost wasn't going to Rainier Stampede, but that was my first like real thing with my troop. And I was like, I told Megan, I was like, I gotta go. I think this will be good for me personally. And I know a lot of my soldiers, they knew what was going on, but they were very appreciative, because there's a lot of people in my formation, a lot of dads, a lot of moms, and grandma, you know, my formation. So they all knew what was going on, and like I said, just have a great support system. So out of that came, then, you know, till now, where we've done XETC, JRTC now, and they're prepping for MOB, you know, come this October. So, you know, command is long, it has its challenges, and yeah, you will find yourself as a commander. And that's what I tell anyone in command at the company level. It's the best experience, but also it's most rewarding, most challenging. You're going to have, your life's going to get in the way at the same time. It's just how you adapt and overcome and surround yourself with those people that you want around you. And that's, I have a great team over at Alpha Troop.
Yeah. And we kind of talked about it as you're going through everything and being in command. And you mentioned it right there. It's that support system. So I was very fortunate. I had two company commands that spanned almost 3.5 years. And I kind of was the same way. It was a support system. It wasn't just me standing up there making decisions. It was all of us. And I imagine you had a lot of that same thing, your subordinate leaders. Mm-hmm. You had your first sergeant right there kind of helping along the way, especially mm-hmm. knowing what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone super supportive. I had a really good team, and I'm very fortunate. But like I said, also Dale Wright, you know, Colonel Tim Osmer, you know, like when everything was going on, they're like, hey, take the time you need, come back. And then when Kezia was born, they were the first ones like super excited for me. And then of course they're like, go take 3 months. I don't care. We'll survive without you for 3 months. And again, I can't thank those two individuals, especially Colonel Osmer and, you know, and Dale Wright, like they're just awesome leaders. You know, Dale's about to retire, and I know Colonel Osmer's not too far away. Just having those two cavalrymen and that kind of goes back to this whole start of the conversation is, we're a smaller organization now than we used to be. Like Cav was the focal point, you know, until the conversion. So, you know, there's not many senior level Cav officers left. So it's kind of weird that I'm almost coming to that level. So trying to, you know, basically what those two have impact on my life to impact on my lieutenants and anyone else that, you know, just that I've met in the G3. Like I know plenty of people I've met. I was a nobody when I first came up here. Like, no one knew who then, you know, Captain Sternberg was, but now, you know, like, people know I am. And that's, again, it goes back to the whole networking thing. Like, as an officer, NCO, if you want to be like an ADOS or AGR, it's, again, all go back to networking. It's who you know sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've been very fortunate.
Yeah. So you got your change of command coming up. Who's following you in that command?
So it'll be Captain Alfred Kane. He's coming from HHC, 81st Striker Brigade Combat Team. Had the pleasure to meet Alfred. He's actually a guidance counselor. He's got a few more years on me, but he's sharp as they come. He's an infantry officer by trade, but he's got a rich history himself. He was a door gunner at one point on his first MOB, and now he's taking Alpha Troop. But yeah, it just brings a lot of, you know, that tactical, but also the administrative. And then, like I said, he's a guidance counselor, so it kind of like a 1-2 punch almost. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Alfred does with Alpha Troop. I think they're in great hands. And yeah, it's going to be a pleasure to watch them go to the Horn of Africa next year and see what they do. I think they're going to be very successful.
Yeah. And then for you, you're kind of just waiting on that call.
Yeah. I'm
kind of, yeah. And NGB.
Yeah. Kind of wait on the call. That's again, 17, same thing. I was kind of waiting on a call, but again, I, like I said, Colonel Osmer was back in NGB last week, you know, so putting my name out there. And then of course we talked this morning about, you know, hey, you know, is this a timing thing? You know, everyone seems like this is a sure thing. It's just got to be patient. But that's what I just look at. Dude, it's being in the right place, right time, and also having the people in your corner. Like, again, I just can't thank those two individuals so much. Like, you know, Colonel Osmer presided over my promotion ceremony a few weeks ago, and he had some very kind words. I, like I said, I'm a very humble person sometimes, and he even had to remind me that things that I do, sometimes I can get people around me, several ranks above me, just to get on board with whatever I'm doing. And I have to, and Megan even brought this up too. It's like, you're humble. You'll take the credit when you do, but you're also kind of surprised. There was a project that I started on 4 years ago. It was for the squadron's meritorious unit citation that Colonel Osmer had put into for us for the Jordan MOB, and it kind of got lost in the administrative process when it got submitted. So long story short, you know, with Dale will always tell me that it was you alone, even though he, you know, I at the time I need some field grade support, and we had a few full bird colonels, and we had one retired three-star general, the former RSENT commander, that had to sign a document. You know, he's retired, so I don't know how this is going to happen. But essentially, Dale, just like I said, it wasn't your persistence and wanting to take care of the soldiers and a task that Colonel Osmer gave you, so much so that even Colonel Osmer, we all kind of forgot about it, essentially, because it was 4 years, essentially, from the time I started the project. Took 2 years to get it back up to DA for approval, and now we just got the official permanent order. So looking to see, recognize all those individuals, and then also getting that streamer for the squadron, because the CAB's very rich history. And so just being, have a little part of that is very humbling for myself. So,
yeah, you've kind of already touched on it a few times, but, you know, we talk about the benefits of the Guard, the difference in the Guard. I mean, for you personally, how has the Guard changed your life?
Extraordinary. Like, just all the opportunities and all the people I've met. You know, there's always going to be good and bad leaders. I've been fortunate enough to have way more good leaders than bad leaders. Like I said, I've somewhat surrounded myself with like-minded people. But yeah, the Guard has given me so many opportunities, and heck, it's partially one of the reasons why I met my wife. If I'm not in the Guard at the time looking for a change, and, you know, if I don't meet her, you and I aren't having this conversation at all. So that's what I told people at my promotion ceremony. It's like, my wife has played a big part in this, allowing me to do what I love. It's, you know, it's been a passion of mine. And the crazy thing is, leaving the CAB world essentially after the 17th, I don't know if I'm coming back to it ever, you know, cause you know how it goes when you get up to the 04 level and you kind of transition potentially into a functioning branch, or you just end up in a staff position for a long time. But yeah, the Guard has been instrumental with all the benefits. August, haven't been able to go yet. We've talked about always going, and I know the Washington Army National Guard Association, that they do a lot for Washington, and it's just great to see people talk about the Guard, love the Guard. Like, I'm very fortunate, like, because at one point I did want to go active duty, but then I'm glad I made the right decision in 2017 by moving out here. So
yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's about it, sir. Like I said, hey, if you want to join 1st Squadron 1303 Cavalry Regiment, we are always taking applications. So like I said, we've had a lot of volunteers, a lot of people, but you know, if you want to come join, shoot guns, well, now it's a Humvee, not a horse. Sorry. We're not a 11th ACR down at Fort Irwin that still has a ceremonial horse horn.
But get a Stetson and some spurs.
But yeah, if you want a Stetson and some spurs, I know a few guys that would love to help you out. So,
I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
Yeah.
If you're interested in learning more about the CAV, throw a comment in the notes and we'll definitely pass that along. If you like the video, give it a like and make sure to hit subscribe for future videos. Josh, we appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, sir. I appreciate it.